The first reading is from Exodus 13, verses 1 through 3a and 11 through 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when the Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Colossians 3. Verse 12 through 17. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, 'A pair of turtle doves or two pigeons.' Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said," and we'll read this together, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, many, many years ago, as a young man, I had a work colleague named Connie Green, who was well past retirement age, but she continued to work. She said it was because she was Norwegian and didn't know any better. We became buddies when I told her that I was of mostly Norwegian descent. One of Connie's most treasured possessions was the diary of her mother's oldest sister, who with her husband immigrated from Norway and settled on the plains of North Dakota sometime before 1915. Like many immigrants, upon arrival, they secured farmland and built a house out of sod. But during the first few years, in the winter of 1918, there was the infamous flu epidemic, and 3 of their 8 children died. I wondered how those parents survived such a tragedy without losing their minds to grief. And I wondered what made them do it in the first place, leave their home and travel across an ocean with 5 or 6 children already, to start a new life in a completely strange land. What makes people do that? The answer is hope. Hope inspires us to be bold. Hope consoles us through the worst tragedy. Hope is a most valuable commodity. Where do you get it? Well, our gospel lesson today is about hope. In Luke 2, we just read that Joseph and Mary, with the baby Jesus, made their way to the temple in Jerusalem when the time came for the purification rites. You can read in Leviticus 12 to learn about this. After the birth of a son, according to Levitical law, the mother was to touch nothing considered holy and was not permitted to enter the temple sanctuary. On the 8th day, the child was circumcised, but for another 33 days, the mother and child were set apart from everyone else. Finally, on the 40th day, the mother was to come to the temple to be purified, and this involved presenting offerings to God. The prescribed offering was a lamb. However, for those of humble means, 2 turtle doves or a couple pigeons would suffice. And on the 40th day, in addition to marking the end of Mary's quarantine, the baby Jesus, as a firstborn son, had to be presented to the Lord as belonging to him. So we learn 2 things about this family Jesus had been born into. First, Mary and Joseph were devout Jews who carefully abided by Jewish law. And second, we learn that they're poor. But the most important thing we just read in Luke 2 has nothing to do with Mary and Joseph. It has to do with these 2 people who we normally wouldn't pay any attention to, because they were old, and they were poor, and they were weirdly eccentric. Simeon and Anna were the kind of people you might vaguely admire, but you'd never want to trade places with them. Their lives were difficult and tragic. But here's what truly set them apart. They had hope because they recognized God at work in their world. You know, so often our lives can seem pointless. If we disappeared, who would be the worse for it, ultimately? Time marches on. The people in your life adjust. And if anyone was justified in giving up on life like that, it was Simeon. He was old and apparently alone in this world. But he wasn't bitter. He was excited. He was energized because he had hope. God had promised him something very simple but profound, and God delivered. Simeon's hope was fulfilled. And Anna, you know, women got married in that culture around age 15 or 16. And Anna was married for 7 years and then a widow for over 60 years. Apparently, no one else was interested in marrying Anna, which was considered tragic in that culture. So decade after decade, she lived her life at the bottom of the economic ladder, rejected and alone. And yet it says she never left the temple. She worshiped night and day, fasting and giving thanks to God. And you know, you have to ask, giving thanks to God for what? What was it with Simeon and Anna? They had hope. Hope that was a gift from God. Hope conveyed to them through the Holy Spirit. Hope that does not disappoint. Read Romans 5. You know, in his time on earth, Jesus gave hope to unlikely people, like Simeon and Anna, and people perhaps like us, people whose dreams and expectations had maybe been shattered, people who found their lives disappointing or even tragic, people whose hopes went unfulfilled. Those are the people to whom Jesus gave hope. For example, it was Lazarus, the desperately sick and impoverished beggar. He's the one who died and found himself in heaven, comforted by Abraham. The rich man in that story that Jesus told, he died also, but he wasn't in heaven. And it was Mary Magdalene, the crazy lady, from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. She's the one who gathered with the other disciples when Jesus rose from the dead. It was Mary Magdalene, of all people, not some distinguished wife of a member of the Sanhedrin. And it was the town prostitute who Jesus pronounced forgiven and accepted by God, who received Jesus' grace. Not Simon, the prominent Pharisee in that story. It was the confessed criminal dying on the cross who begged for mercy. Jesus promised him that he'd be in heaven that day. He's the one who received forgiveness and life from Jesus. It wasn't someone like Pontius Pilate, the powerful Roman governor of Judea, also featured in that story. And it was the disgusting, self-serving, hated tax collector in the parable who saw himself as he really was and cried out for mercy. He's the one who received mercy and forgiveness from God. Not the other guy in the parable, the self-righteous Pharisee. And it was the humble centurion. It was the father of the dying girl. It was the despised Samaritan woman. It was the man born blind and the bleeding woman and the rejected and dying leper. The man paralyzed and helpless. It was people like us, the guilty, the inadequate, the sinful, the desperate, those of us who are secretly ashamed, us who have failed. It was people like us to whom Jesus gives hope. People who recognize we have nowhere else to turn. When Jesus hung dying on the cross, absorbing God's wrath, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, who was without sin, took upon himself the punishment we sinners deserve. We are the kind of people to whom Jesus gives hope. And this is what we can hope for. We can hope that whatever happens, particularly when disappointing or tragic or even disastrous things happen, we're given hope that God will somehow create good for us, even out of the worst possible circumstances. We can hope that no matter what selfishness and sin we've exhibited in our lives and continue to struggle with, we can hope confidently that because we belong to Christ, our sin has been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. God still loves you and hears your prayers. Despite your unworthiness, and your failure, and your sin, God is there for you and will not abandon you. And we can hope that at the end of our lives, no matter when that is, we who belong to Christ will be in heaven. That Jesus has prepared a place for you, and your future is secure. That's our hope in Christ. And he promises that our hope in him will never put us to shame. In fact, our hope in Christ is the only thing that will never disappoint us. Christ is born, and you are forgiven. Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great mercy and compassion toward us. Lord, please help us to recognize the magnitude of this gift that you have given to us who are sinful. That Christ himself has imputed his perfect righteousness to us. Lord, help us to be able to grasp what has happened. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.